Where do we find peace? We all seek it, right? Is there anyone here that doesn't want peace? And yet it seems so elusive. The scene set in today's words from Mark point to anything but peace. A crowd is gathered. Family members trying to subdue Jesus, claiming he was insane. Legal experts proclaiming he was taken over by Satan. Shouting and arguing and looking for ways to forcefully shut down Christ's ministry. But Jesus, as he often does, gets right to the heart of the matter. How can Satan throw Satan out? A kingdom involved in civil war will collapse, and a house torn apart by divisions will collapse. If Satan rebels against himself and is divided, then he can't endure. Let's check that again. A house torn apart by divisions will collapse. Sadly, society globally has gotten really good at dividing itself. We've created separation of geography and ethnicity, separation of gender, separation of race, separation of faith, separation of wealth, separation of political parties. We've cut and divided each other so much that we're so busy, to paraphrase Dr. Phil McGraw, focused on being right rather than being happy. It feels like it gets worse daily. My sister-in-law, Peg Bussey, expressed the feeling very clearly in a social media post this week that summarizes a lot of what I see happening around us, and I share this with her permission. It reads, "I have grown to have so much respect for lifelong activists and volunteers. I don't know how they do it. This includes being involved at all levels of life, local, state, and national, and not just in the political arena, but also volunteer efforts with non-political groups. I am tired, and I am done for the time being. I know I need to recharge my batteries. I completely understand, for the most part, we all get wrapped up in our daily lives and we worry about how we pay bills, illness, parents, children, jobs, etc. I just do not understand the total seemingly lack of caring of what is going on in our world today. This isn't about political party. It's about the facts. Puerto Rico is still without power in some areas, and Hurricane Maria was 9 months ago. We're separating parents and children at the border. No matter how you feel about immigration, this is not who we are. We have government officials lining their own pockets like never before. Scott Pruitt. We have declared Canada to be a national security risk, and oh, by the way, they burned the White House in the War of 1812. Read your history books. Our president is spending more time on football players kneeling than solving real problems of working people, and oh, by the way, does not know the words to God Bless America. The same small group of people do all the work in local organizations and all of the lies. I could go on and on. I guess people think this is just life and someone else will solve it. Thus my admiration for activists who have fought their entire lives. I admit temporary defeat and I need a break. And I can completely empathize with her on this. To continue to call out the divisions people are creating in the human race day after day is exhausting. To look at the mounting conflict in society is overwhelming. and to find answers to address the issues seems to be more than we can overcome. But God's word was very clear on the issue of conflict among his people. Mark Galli, the editor of Christianity Today, highlighted just how much God cannot stand violence. The prophet Ezekiel reflected, "He said to me, 'Do you see, human one? Isn't it enough that the house of Judah has observed here all these detestable things? They have filled the land with violence, and they continue to provoke my fury.'" Obadiah cites, "Because of the slaughter and violence done to your brother Jacob, shame will cover you and you will be destroyed forever." Yet, the displays of bravado and bullying tactics abound. From the President of the United States tweeting, "Isn't it ironic, getting ready to go to the G7 in Canada to fight for our country on trade, we have the worst trade deals ever made, then off to Singapore to meet with North Korea and the nuclear problem. But back home, we still have the 13 angry Democrats pushing the witch hunt." To Attorney General Jeff Sessions' comment on the separation of parents and children at the border, saying, "We will prosecute you, and that child will be separated from you as required by law. If you don't like that, then don't smuggle children over our border." To the actions of gunmen in our schools, taking countless innocent lives, in an expression that fighting, attacking, or even killing gets a message across in a successful way. Aren't we just begging for shame to come over us and to be destroyed forever? And yet, as the late editor of the Washington Post editorial page, Robert Estabrook, noted, "He who has learned to disagree without being disagreeable has discovered the most valuable secret of being a diplomat." You see, it's fine for us to look at the world differently. In fact, our diversity is an asset in arriving at new and creative solutions that we never would have come up with on our own individually. But we can do so in a way that doesn't trigger attacks on others, and most certainly doesn't create violence and tension that defy God's will. I think what can recenter us most here is how Jesus reframes what makes us a community, what makes us a family. He replied, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" Looking around at those seated around him in a circle, he said, "Look, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother, sister, and mother." So as we sit back and reflect, are we, as a mother, as a father, as a brother, or a sister to Christ? Because that's what Christian faith means. And to fulfill that role, we need to do God's will, not act in the face of it. Just like the challenges in the world that my sister-in-law called out, it would seem fulfilling God's will would be a massive undertaking. Something so big, there's no way we could possibly do it. And yet, like anything else, when we go back to the basics, we can accomplish just that. The basics provide a clarity that gives us direction. And those are the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You must love your neighbor as you love yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. And therefore, Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. When we anchor ourselves to a central focus, it gives us the compass we need to turn from violence and toward the hope. Polish historian, dissident, and essayist Adam Michnik said, I do know that you have to choose between the logic of reconciliation and the logic of justice. Pure justice leads to new civil war. I prefer the negotiable revolution. That logic of reconciliation leads us to loving our neighbor as ourselves. And loving our neighbor as ourselves leads to that all-elusive peace that we seek. For myself, I've made my personal mission to leave places and relationships better when we part than when I found them. Choices and actions are easy when you can ask yourself if they answer, did you accomplish this? With a simple yes or no answer. We get to start that journey of reconciliation as a church body in 2 weeks. 272 years ago, the founders of this church chose division over unity. Like many separations, there were solid intentional reasons for their choices. There were concerns that ranged from what public behavior should be tolerated to what clergy should be allowed to wear. And yet both groups proclaimed they were Christians, serving the same God and the same Savior. We've had a couple of centuries to learn and to grow. We've had a chance to deepen our study and to open our ears to our still speaking God, seeking better understanding in how we are called to fulfill God's will. And if we root ourselves to the basics, our choices are easy. We love our neighbors at Westfield as ourselves. We take the opportunity of the next several weeks to listen to each other, to learn from each other, to grow in faith with each other. We focus squarely on what makes us brothers and sisters and unite in support of our common mission. We work toward delivering on Jesus' prayer cited in John 17:21, saying, I pray they will be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. I pray that they also will be in us, so that the world will believe that you sent me. Every moment, we commit to finding what unites us and makes us a family in Christ. We find our peace as well. And if that's what we're seeking, why wouldn't we spend each moment getting and giving our all to get there? So let's reach out to our brothers and sisters at Westfield. Let's seek nothing but love for each other and asking the question, how can I help you fulfill your call from God today? And let's enjoy and celebrate the peace that comes from those moments when we know that we are Jesus' mothers and brothers, for we are doing God's will. May it ever be so. Amen.